This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Allen and Mahomes, to me, are on their own stratosphere, where those two guys could play with all of us and win 12 games. They make throws that most people would just be taught, don't ever even attempt that, but they do it, and they do it all the time. I understand the Bills fan who sits there and says, hey, I want a number one receiver. I want a Stephon Diggs in his prime without the drama type of guy. Great, I get that. The Bills can win the Super Bowl with Khalil Shakir as a number one receiver. I watched the Chiefs win a Super Bowl with Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore.
Matt Verderam on Show with the Bulldog yesterday. Good conversation. Checking in with the Chiefs there. Now listen to that.
And nobody is saying they can't win without a number one receiver.
That is correct. No, not many people are saying that they can't.
The Chiefs proved you could do it both ways.
That's right.
They had a number one receiver. And we're going to do the thing with the Chiefs, I guess. Although last year, I guess, is less of this. But we're going to do the thing with the Chiefs that everyone does with the Patriots, which is we're going to forget they have the best tight end of all time. We're just going to forget that. The Patriots had no weapons, everybody. Don't forget the polar bear in the corner that catches 1,000 yards a year. We're just going to forget Travis Kelce exists. If Kincaid becomes great, I'm good forgetting about that tight end after the Bills win Super Bowls.
Yep.
But he's got to become that.
Indeed. Indeed. We had a caller on Kincaid earlier. There's a picture going around of him from Bill's phase one of workouts, and people are kind of just, whether they're extracting from the picture that he's got knee braces or wraps or the extracting that he looks thin. I mentioned this in the first hour. Good morning, by the way, Jeremy and Joe, if you're just joining us, that the thing I learned from the picture was not a takeaway. I'm not sitting here looking at this picture thinking, clearly I can see his play strength or anything like that. The takeaway is that Kincaid is under the microscope as much as anybody on this team right now.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
The two players that are maybe the most, let's see what they've got, are Kincaid and Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what Bean is leaning on when he's bullish on his pass catchers group, is his last two top picks of the draft before this last one were pass catchers for Josh Allen to try and invest in the position and see if they can get something out of him. So for Kincaid, there's a little bit of what do they want him to be? You want him to be bigger and stronger and have play strength and be more of a – would that mean sacrificing smoothness? Would that mean sacrificing speed? Would that mean giving up a little bit of the pass catching for a little bit more play strength? I don't know that it has to be that.
Does he look like to you that he has any of that?
Play strength? Or
speed and fluidity maybe is one thing that he's got. He had, until last year, unbelievable hands. College and then his rookie season, it felt like any ball that was near him, he was going to come down
with. He's supposed to be the best pass catcher in the draft, and his first year was incredibly efficient. He caught everything.
Yep, so that could have just been an off year for him, because last year with the drops and, I mean, even that play at the end, which is less of a drop, but, you know, that doesn't line up with the rest of his career, including college.
Yeah.
So I might expect that will bounce back, but I also don't know. I don't know what does it look like if he does take that monster step forward. Like, okay, he becomes one of the great tight ends in football. I can look around the league and know, like, I know what it looks like with Trey McBride jumps over people, right? Like, there's these athletic traits that you see in some of these freakazoid tight ends that have become the best tight ends in football. I don't know what Kincaid looks like if he becomes that. Is he more the nuances of the position and he's more like Kelce, where you don't see him on the screen running routes, the ball goes to him, and you're just like, how is that dude open? How is nobody covering him? Did we just forget about him again? Mm-hmm. Is it that? Or is he going to be like Trey McBride or George Kittle, where he's running by guys and then also running through them? Because I thought he would be more of the former.
Running past guys.
No, more of like through? The fluidity and like he's just good at finding those open holes and more like outthinking the defense rather than he's the best athlete on the field.
Yeah, I think fluidity, if we go with the Kincaid timeline, and by the way, give us a ring on this, 803-0550. This kind of gets to the question on One Bills Live yesterday. I listened for a good chunk of it, was like, what's going to be different about this year's passing game? They were talking about receivers, what will be different about the receivers. Let's go to all of it, the passing game. What will be different, more improved? Do they even really need any improvement? Of course, the GM is pointing to 30 points a game, which they did average. So what will be different? You know, Kincaid, if we take the timeline, Joe, it was year one, he was the star of training camp. It was all about how every practice he is a part of the offense. It's not a bring him along slowly. You know, each position gets its own timeline. And there are plenty of people that would tell you that tight end is a position that might take a little time. You know, guys, rookies, you and I had a bet. Rookie tight ends don't put up big numbers. And I just think the position has changed to a point where now we've got the Kincaid's type of hybrid tight end receiver that's a tight end. But that position gets targets, and that position comes in and makes a big difference right away. If you're someone in Dynasty that drafts Tyler Warren, I bet you get a bunch of catches out of him in Indianapolis if they have a quarterback. And whether it's McBride, who you mentioned, or a lot of Evan Engram, this position exists around the league. It's not really unique anymore. A lot of teams have their guy like this. But
it's almost rare now to have a team that doesn't have anybody like that.
Yeah, he fit right in. He was fluid. And then we saw it produce in games right away to a point. Dorsey gets fired quickly. That's one thing about Kincaid's timeline. We make this point about quarterbacks and receivers. Elijah Moore had all these different quarterbacks, and that's why he hasn't produced like he should. And Sam Darnold had all these different coordinators, and that's why he didn't produce like he should. For Kincaid, he's drafted into a Ken Dorsey offense that 8 games in becomes a Joe Brady offense. And with Brady, in the regular season, I could pull up the postseason stats. With Brady, I think Dalton Kincaid has two touchdowns.
Yeah. In the regular season, one, and then he has one in the playoffs.
Okay, so yeah. In all the games that Joe Brady has called for the Bills, Kincaid has 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody eats. I know that's fine. It's kind of this one spot where the Bills have something that's difficult to kind of wrap your arms around or whatever, wrap your head around, because I've got it where everybody's going to get the ball, so no one person should produce. And that almost runs a little counter to trying to figure out, hey, did Bean make a good pick in Kincaid? He's not individually producing, but the offense as a whole produces. So, you know, we've kind of got this endless conversation about what they do on offense, which of course is 97% due to Josh Allen being amazing. Maybe like 80% Allen and 20% the offensive line, and their weapons are nicer than they were last year. Anyway, if you want to give us a call on Kincaid and your expectations for him, because that picture. You can tell me the picture is a nothing burger, and I might even, I probably would be inclined to agree. The responses to me were eye-opening. Okay, people are ready for Kincaid to show it, to be a premier tight end in the league, and I don't know if he'll get the targets for that. You bring up McBride. We went through the numbers. If Kincaid got McBride's target share, he would have those numbers. Even at a poor efficiency standpoint, he wasn't that far off on yards per catch and yards per target.
Yeah, I mean, there was about a 2-yard difference in yards per target, which I think for tight end might be a lot. But over 2 years, it's closer.
It's not that far.
In the rookie year, Kincaid was pretty good at that. So, Right. Last year, McBride got 147 targets, and he had 1,100 yards. But part of that is he commands that. Like, he is a weapon. He's not just good at getting open, McBride is. He is absolutely, you throw a screen to, and you just watch him go.
You know what he is? He's like throwing a screen to Josh Allen.
Yeah,
that's McBride.
He really is. McBride is Josh Allen if he couldn't throw. Basically, right. That's
jumping over dudes, stiff arming guys. Yeah,
he had a touchdown last year because McBride. Part of his story was he didn't have any touchdowns.
Right,
he had all those yards and all those catches, but he had two receiving touchdowns on the year. He had a rushing touchdown on the year, and I remember that because I had him in fantasy, and it was like a weird experience with him. And it was a reverse. That team was running reverses to him because he's that level of athlete on top of getting open. So, you know, there's part of, well, if Kincaid had targets like that, he would have similar numbers. But you do earn those targets. And nobody would say Kincaid earned, I think, the right to have 100 targets last year. I mean, often when he was getting targeted, he and the quarterback did not look like they were on the same page. And you had drops on top of it. Like, it was Allen to Kincaid in an offense where there were a ton of efficient plays last year. Allen to the running backs was efficient. I'm looking at their yards per target last year, and those are their top two receivers in yards per target, were Ty Johnson and Ray Davis. Cook catches were efficient, and Knox actually was quietly in a very low target share was efficient, and so was Shakir on his role. The one guy that you could absolutely point to and say, yeah, when they threw to that guy, it didn't really work. Last year, that was Kincaid. You could blame the injury, and I think they would be right to some extent. But I don't know. I'm still questioning what it looks like if he becomes this star tight end and how he does it.
It'd be a pretty great find. And people would be thinking that the long-term staying power of this offense at the top, which it's almost always been at the top because of Josh Allen, but you know, a number one running mate right now, that's Shakir. And Kincaid's the other one that was supposed to be that, or Coleman. They've got two guys they can really point to and say, we've got a lot of belief here, and we'll see if it comes to fruition. 803-0550, Jerry and Kenmore is up first this hour. Hey, Jerry, good morning.
Good morning. Actually, I'm going by Jeremy and Kenmore. Mm. Jerry. Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's Jeremy and Kenmore now. I think the Kincaid thing, from a strength standpoint, I don't think it's even like functionality and how he hits the game. I think they're very concerned about his durability. It's a physical position, and Knox plays physical, and Kelce played physical, and Gronk played physical, and I think he's built more like a finesse tight end, and I don't think that's what we want, because we run the ball and we want him to finish runs, and I think the strength is just strictly a durability thing, and maybe that's why he didn't practice much, maybe he didn't do as much because he was hurt, and if we can change his strength a little bit, he'll get more plays on the field. He'll get more plays in practice. So he'll be more functional in our offense.
Yeah. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for the phone call. Maybe durability is going to be really important. That's something that this Bills team, you know, they had injuries to, of course, Kincaid and Coleman and Samuel, three players that they were hoping to count on. And then Cooper also last year when he got here, right? There was a little bit of a shoulder injury after Seattle's shoulder. So,
yep.
It's always built in. Durability. It's one thing we're, you know, knock on wood, spoiled by the quarterback who has got the active streak for the most consecutive starts.
Mm-hmm.
And is like 10 years away from Brett Favre on that. He's got a long way to go.
He's got a long way to go.
Long way to go.
Well, they want to run the ball too, right? Like, and yep, he's going to be on the field for that a lot. And I don't know that you would say he's been a bad blocker for 2 years. I don't really know how he was last year in this. I remember, though, seeing that his first year was better as a blocker than you. Like, he was wrecking people down the field when he was blocking defensive backs. And last year, I don't really know how that went for him. So I think it's more about the durability, but part of it is the Bills like to run the ball a lot. And when you have two tight ends on the field, I think part of, going back to Dorsey conversations, what's part of the reason you might want to run 12 personnel? What's one of the defenses you'll hear for it?
To which be is multiple, so you don't know if you're going to run or pass.
Yeah, right.
That's why McDermott wants it. He always talks about, if we're going back to McDermott's entire career, it's the threat of the run.
Yep, there's that. And also it is that Kincaid in this instance, your second tight end on the field is often now going to be blocking a defensive back. and him blocking a defensive back instead of a linebacker feels like an advantage in the run game. Mm-hmm. And that could be another part of why they would want... I don't know what the number is, though. Do they want him to gain 10 pounds? Do they want him to gain 25 pounds of muscle?
Yeah, we'll see. Training camp, OTAs, it'll be part of the conversation. Like right now, we're still at phase one. But the first couple times we hear from Kincaid, it'll be about, is there a goal in terms of what you're supposed to gain, the play strength? We'll see. Larry in South Florida is up. Hey, Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to talk about what I want to see different in the passing offense. So last year I put $50 down, I think it was, on a futures bet because I laughed when Vegas set the number at 3750.5 for Josh for total yards. I said, there's no way. This guy's not going to throw for four, even if it was a 16-game season, which and technically for Josh it was. I still would have taken the bet. Well, you go back and you look at a lot of those games. Were there deep throws? Yeah, there were. But they were deep sideline throws. And there was so much dink and dunk and behind the line of scrimmage and two-yard passes. And think of that Kansas City game. All the short yard passes and those stupid first and second down runs, it drove me crazy. And they just loaded the box, and there was nowhere for Josh to go on that fourth and one. Even though we all believe he got it, that shouldn't have come down to that, in my opinion. Especially all those times that they ran for third and two or third and one, Josh up the middle, should never have to come down to that. You have the weapons. I mean, the other day when we were talking about receivers, I forgot we have Josh Palmer. I love Josh Palmer. I mean, he's a more polished Keon Coleman, in my opinion. And he's got better hands, and you go and get him when you already have a Keon Coleman, and you also have a Curtis Samuel. That's why I was so thrilled they went and got Elijah Moore. I want over-the-middle throws, gentlemen. I want to see not just deep sideline throws, and I know he had a much lower interception ratio, and that's great, but when you do ball control, time of possession, short dink and dunk passes, that stuff's going to happen. I want a little bit more risk. I want a little bit more open. I want over-the-middle throws. Kincaid is built for that kind of thing. He's got the speed. He's got the hands. He can get open. You know, he does drop, but they all drop here and there. And I just think with Josh's arm and his moving ability and the way he can throw out to his right, you've got to get over-the-middle throws. I'd love to get your opinion.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Larry. Over-the-middle. One of the things the Bills saw a lot of last year was cover one. Like all the talk about cover two, and listen, there are a lot of different looks you see, but the Bills saw a very high number, a high amount of cover one. And I think that what they did, what teams tried to do to the Bills was close off the middle of the field to a degree and force them through to the outside. So one of the reasons they went out and got Cooper was they needed to pull a little more attention to the outside. You know, Mac Hollins is out there. You know, it's funny. One thing about this conversation, this endless conversation at receiver, the Bills are right now, I mean, we talked to the GM on Monday. I keep using the phrase spicy. It got spicy. Point of clarification. What they're doing at receiver this year is very different from what they did at receiver last year. It is very different. I have the training camp depth chart of last year. Last year, here's their receiver depth chart. Mac Hollins is listed as the number one receiver on one side. Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel on the other side. The backups are Keon Coleman, MVS, Tyrell Shavers, Justin Shorter.
Okay.
Then Chase Claypool, Brian Thompson, and Xavier Johnson.
Yeah.
While they are still doing Everybody Eats, and they're still doing, you know, didn't spend a high draft pick and didn't spend huge wide receiver one money, which don't let anybody hijack it into being only about receiver one. It is very different than Mac Hollins and Curtis Samuel are your one and two.
Yeah.
Now you have Josh Palmer in that mix and Elijah Moore. Where would he rank on last year's training camp roster? He'd be ahead of MVS.
I would have been thinking about him as their
three.
They're number two even, maybe.
Whatever. But the point is...
Well, they paid Samuel, so maybe, that's right, number three.
Samuel, we wondered about the injuries there. But so the point is that they are going in this year spending much more on the position. Palmer is a big upgrade.
Yeah.
So last year they...
He should be a lot better than what Cooper was
last
year. Right,
right. So like for Bean to say, I get people ask the questions last year, yeah, those questions were fully warranted, and they went out and traded for Amari Cooper, and then things from there got better. So they are entering this year, while there's a lot of noise about how they're doing it at receiver, it is definitely different than last year. They've invested more at the position than they did last year. Coleman in year two is not relying on a rookie, and you see some good things out of him. So that's a step up. Keon Coleman right now versus Keon Coleman this time last year. And Palmer over Hollins is a step up. And again, like Cooper wasn't here. So Elijah Moore is a step up over MVS. Just do it on the money. While the Bills are, I don't know, trying to take a victory lap on what they did last year, they have followed up last year by going into the season investing more, which I think is a good development, a positive development.
And I think they're better at the position for it.
Yeah.
Like, just the continued mischaracterization of what the wide receiver debate is this offseason. Like, Bean says, kind of to your point, like, he says, I understood the questions last year. There were more questions last year.
Yeah, there are fewer questions.
There was
this year.
More debate about it. There was more talk about it. This year, sure, there still is some. Part of that is there's not that many positions on this team that are worthy of debate.
Right.
Because they are their roster is in that state. So that's part of it.
Part of it is a bit of a compliment to say,
yeah, like,
there's a spot on your team that appears to be a little lighter than others.
Like, it's also a compliment to say, I think there is a lot less talk about the position and debate about the position. I'd say there's none this year because I think a lot of people think the position's better.
Yeah.
And everyone liked Matt Collins, and Cooper did some nice things while he was here, but I don't see anybody making the argument that Palmer and now Moore into the fold is an upgrade over those two.
And not even Cooper in that spot. Palmer and Moore, the flip from last year is Mac Hollins and MVS.
Right.
That's really the difference from last year to this year. That's a step.
Yeah. MVS was just, he's a one-trick pony. And Moore, he doesn't have to be great. Moore could catch 5 passes this year, for all we know. He could also catch 60.
Right.
But, like, the skill set is the big difference there. Valdes-Scantling was a one-trick pony even at his best. He was a guy that could run down the field, had severe drop problems his whole career. And Moore is somebody that, if he works, should be able to do everything for you. And that is very different. If MVS worked out, he was doing one thing for you well. And Moore, if he works out, I think Moore's doing everything for you.
And they might want
slot, outside, downfield, underneath. And like, he's a well-rounded skill set that just hasn't put it together yet.
803-0550. We started on Kincaid, got a couple calls on receivers there as well. And a big trade in the NFL. We've not yet seen the compensation, but George Pickens on his way to Dallas. Instant fantasy reaction, Joe. Pickens is now an upgrade. He goes to a much better offense.
Yes, he's got a better quarterback.
Plays with a stud quarterback as opposed to Mason Rudolph.
He does go from a number one to being a number two.
Well, he was just about to be behind Metcalf. So
right.
Maybe it's a slight downgrade in terms of the depth chart, but I mean, at quarterback, he's a lot better.
Yeah, I think I would want to tank my Metcalf shares.
Sell?
I don't know what you'd get for him right now. I wouldn't be optimistic. What's Metcalf going to have for them? They're not going to be very well-rounded. Their passing game is going to be just focus on Metcalf, and you're good.
Yeah.
So I don't know how well he's going to do there.
803-0550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
He's a veteran player that had a successful college career, ended up in, I believe, two places in the NFL, experienced some success. We see quickness. We see football ability. Now it's, hey, let's get him into our building, our culture, our environment, our offense, and see what he can do.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, that's on Elijah Moore. Trade today in the NFL. We still don't know the compensation. Adam Schefter's latest is the trade between Pittsburgh and Dallas expected to include a third-round pick and other pick swaps. That's what George Pickens goes to the Cowboys for. Pickens to the Cowboys, and a third-round pick and other swaps.
Yeah.
So it's probably a third and, like, what, a fifth for a sixth and a sixth for a seventh or something like that.
That's not a trade that I am mad the Bills didn't make at all, because he's fine. He's a good player, but I don't love the type of receiver he is, and it's not just the third-round pick. It's that he might not be great, and I have to pay him after this year.
There are a lot of questions
about... I have to pay him a lot. Like, if I'm going to pay a receiver a big contract, I think I want a better player and a different type of receiver.
You might want someone that goes out on every play. A lot of
that too.
The picking stuff is that he doesn't go all out every play.
Right. That's right. And I would want a guy that separates. I don't know. Like, this doesn't have to be Pickens, and he's younger, right? Because he was drafted like really young. But a lot of those slower, big body, downfield, contested catch guys don't really last forever. Like, there's a wall. Thinking about Kenny Golladay for this.
There's a name for
him. Who's like, does he even exist anymore?
Presumably exists.
He got a huge contract from the Giants a couple years ago, and then he just vanished.
Never went anywhere, yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Viral video, the Ravens have a new kicker. They've released Justin Tucker for football reasons, finger quotes.
Yeah.
They don't want to just say what it was for. He did have a rough year.
Yeah, he was terrible.
They can kind of stand on football reasons to a point. They have a rookie kicker, the Ravens do, named Tyler Loop.
Yeah.
What do you know about Tyler Loop?
All I know is that he was a six-round pick?
Yes.
I saw the Ravens drafting him and assumed that was the end of Justin Tucker. But
they drafted him, and there's video of him hitting a 75-yard field goal.
Really?
Yes. Kicking it through the uprights from 75 yards.
Mm-hmm. You saw there's a video of this?
Yes.
Can I be nitpicky and ask, like, okay, so is he kicking off a tee?
It's not a tee.
Against open air?
It's not a tee. It's one of those automatic holder things, like where it puts it on the ground. It's not a tee.
Okay.
So it's off the deck,
off the deck.
If you want to say it that way. 75 yards off the deck through the uprights.
Okay. Would it have cleared the other nitpicky thing? Would it have cleared a line that was trying to block it?
That's a good question.
Because so, if you get a kickoff goes 75 yards, it's very different than a field goal that goes 75 yards.
That's right. This led me to go down this rabbit hole where I looked at Tyler Loop's draft profile.
Yeah.
Like, what do you say for a kicker for strengths and weaknesses? And I'm telling you, I hope to deliver here a hilarious weakness. I want you to think. I'm going to give you
for
the strengths.
Kicker?
Yes, yes. I want you to think what is the funniest possible weakness slash minus that a draft profiler would put in a draft report.
Tyler, about a kicker.
This is about a kicker. This is a kicker. So Lance Zierlein, NFL.com. You know, they're going through the things that he does well, highly experienced, consistency of ball flight, plants field goals from 50-plus, way up in the net, make from 62, not a shock. He did that in college. When he misses, it's left. He did miss two extra point attempts in 2024. He should handle kickoff duties. Strengths, 6 of 9 from 50-plus and one hit one from 62. Whip-like action for leg power. Kicks with NFL trajectory and ball flight. Has kickoff power. Capable as an emergency punter. Then we are on to...
You could put that on any kicker.
Anybody could be an emergency punter.
Every single draft profile for eternity about a kicker is capable of being an emergency punter.
Are you ready? Let's play the home version of this game. Josh, hit me with NFL music. It's a quick game. We're going to have some fun. Owen, I want you to have a guess. Josh, a guess. Everybody out there, have a guess.
Uh-huh.
What is a weakness for a kicker? Lance Zierlein has a weakness on the draft profile for Tyler Loop, new Ravens rookie kicker, sixth-round pick.
Uh-huh.
I hand the floor to you with your guesses.
Okay, Tyler Loop occasionally will completely miss the football.
Oh, that seems like a major flaw. It seems undraftable.
Yeah, like a golfer that swings so hard that once in a while he's just going to miss the ball entirely.
I did that practice
swing,
with you, Jeremy.
Practice swing.
Hold on. You said it. I was not going to rat you out for that. I was waiting for you to admit that. Last time Owen and I went and played,
he missed the ball.
I swung so hard.
He missed the ball.
Yeah. Is that worse than hitting the ball two inches
into the ground? It's debatable.
I think it's worse.
Debatable.
I think it might be worse.
It's pretty.
How about refuses to tackle?
Refuses to tackle.
Like does kickoffs?
Is it that he kicks the ball too far on kickoffs?
No.
Pops the ball?
No.
How about occasionally you will decide to just pick up the ball and start running? Like on a field goal?
Wild
like,
man.
Like the punter holds the ball and instead of kicking it, he just has the urge. I'm just going to grab it.
He calls his own number. Okay. Yeah. No, these are all good guesses for the funniest weakness on a kicker scouting report possible.
Small feet.
Loop.
There are two listed weaknesses. One, had two kicks blocked in 2023. All right. That's on there.
Hits the ball too low.
Okay. Nope.
What's the Newman clip from Seinfeld? He doesn't work in the rain. I don't work in the rain.
I'll give it to you. You ready? Lance Zierlein.
Yeah.
The scouting report on Ravens rookie kicker Tyler Loop, who was in a video, hit a 75-yarder. I think this might introduce us to the concept of a diva kicker. Weaknesses. Makes it known when he's disappointed with the holder.
Oh, wow.
How about a diva kicker?
A diva kicker. I thought when you said diva kicker, I thought you'd be like, he's going to get mad at Harbaugh when it's 4th-and-1 and he doesn't kick the field goal.
He's Ray Finkel.
You know what I mean? Like, throws his arms up. Like, I want the field goal. Don't go for it on 4th-and-1.
That's funny, too.
But he's yelling at the holder?
He makes it known when he's mad at the holder. Did you know that was a thing that could possibly be on a kicker scouting report?
I don't think I've ever seen it happen.
There you go.
You ever seen a kicker, like, go off on the punter, the holder?
Ray Finkel, Dan Marino, that's about it.
Oh, I didn't even know what that reference was. Ray Finkel, wait, was Dan Marino the holder?
Oh, boy. Oh, my God.
Wait. Oh, is this Ace Ventura?
Yes.
Oh, that's why.
Okay, you saved it. You've seen it.
Yeah.
You know it. Okay, you've saved it. That was close. That was close, Joe.
I thought, was Marino the holder at some point? Like Romo was the holder.
Man,
Romo should have got screamed at for that playoff game.
For the drop on this on the snap?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's not a great one. To what extent is he going off on the holder?
Don't you want to go
berating
back?
Berating him like right after the field goal? Like I want to see what this looks like.
Hand on the face mask, pulls him in. What are you doing? Laces out.
I said laces out. What else could you really be mad about? I guess he could drop it, but
yeah.
There's angles to the ball, I'm sure, right?
Kicker, not a good teammate.
Well, the holder competition in Baltimore is going to be a
big one. We had Holdgate once, or whatever, Holdapalooza.
Oh, with Matt Araiza?
Yeah, to see if he could hold.
He couldn't hold. Yeah.
He could. He showed he could well enough. Anyway, there you go. There's the update on Tyler Loop. I learned that that's something you could do in scouting report.
To a point where it's a negative. Yeah.
803-0550. The Steelers cycle continues.
I want them to be bad so much. Aren't they going to be bad?
This might be the year for it.
Don't they have to finally be bad? This was New England. New England, it was forever. Oh, Belichick, the defense, they'll never be terrible. And then they were terrible. They just showed up one year, and they didn't have it, and they were terrible. And I got to believe that day is coming for Pittsburgh.
Well, if they got a third for Pickens, and they didn't have a second rounder this year. They didn't take the quarterback. They don't get Rodgers, and it's just Rudolph.
It is just Rudolph right now, isn't it?
Yep.
Who's the backup?
Oh, boy.
Do they have another name on the roster even?
Wow, who's the backup Pittsburgh?
It's amazing. Like, Cleveland's got five guys that could all, like, none of them are good, but all, like, are reasonable. Like, oh, that guy could play at some point during the year. If Rudolph stinks, which is very likely, they don't even have, Will Howard. Who's a six-round rookie. I shouldn't say, like, Will Howard. Like, he's a six-round pick. Like, that's their number two at the moment. They're going to be terrible. Robert Woods is playing on this offense at his age. Like, I can't believe they won't be terrible finally.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550.
But you really start looking at for some of this is, like, strength of schedule. I saw the Bills have, the sixth easiest schedule in the league this year?
Yeah.
Which is all their road schedule for the most part.
It's a top-heavy schedule, and past that, it's like five marquee games. And the rest, the Bills, the over-under for road wins this year has got to be 6.5. I mean, maybe 7.5.
It's like 10 games against non-playoff teams from last season.
Not bad.
Hey, Bills fans, be sure to come meet Greg Rousseau, Bills defensive end, Wednesday, May 14th, 4 to 5 p.m. at the Quaker Crossing Verizon store. That's 3500 Amelia Drive in OP, Orchard Park. While you're there, you can enter for a chance to win an exclusive Bills experience that will include tickets to the home opener, which we'll find out next week what that will be, post-game field access at that opener, and a $250 gift card to the stadium store, courtesy of Verizon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Welcome back. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy had to run out. Not a family emergency, if you will, but nothing bad. Nothing serious. Hey, the ride for Roswell is coming up. I will be riding. So be sure to take part for Team WGR. You can head to rideforroswell.com as we try to reach our goal. Saturday, June 28th. So sign up, and once you join our team, you'll get an email where you could pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. And if you're not a rider, you could still help support our cause and help us reach our goal. Visit WGR550.com for details. 803-0550 is the phone number. DK Metcalf is alone in that Steelers offense after George Pickens was traded today. I was thinking about Cooper a little bit for Pittsburgh. Amari Cooper is still available. I don't think he is at all an option for the Bills anymore. I mean, their room is, I think, set. They needed one more guy after the draft, and they did it. They signed Elijah Moore. So I don't think there's a spot for Cooper. And really, you know, like Sal always bring up, like, you got 90 guys, right? 90 guys come to training camp, and you got to fill out the roster. But I would be more inclined to think they will fill out that room for training camp and mini camp and OTAs and all of that with undrafted free agent guys, younger players, you know. Not Cooper. Not players at that age and of that ilk would be my guess. I think a third-round pick, by the way, is a lot for Pickens with the contract coming up. Because it could be 1 year. They can franchise tag him. Dallas is notoriously slow at getting contract negotiations done. So we'll see if they could sign him. The report in the last couple minutes is there has been no negotiation before the trade. Like, there was no, hey, there's a deal worked out between Pickens and the Cowboys with this deal. So they have to do that. And I don't know if they will. So 1 year of Pickens, if that's all it is, for a third, that's not a great number for me. And paying him what it'll cost to keep him, he's not my favorite player for that. So I do kind of like the deal for Pittsburgh. I just don't think Pittsburgh has anything left on offense now. And I think they're about to have a really bad year. Matt Miller from ESPN just tweeted out, like, this is the worst Steelers roster of the Mike Tomlin era.
The graphic's up there right now. You've got DK Metcalf, Pat Freiermuth, Calvin Austin, and Robert Woods.
That's their core.
Yeah.
On offense. Jaylen Warren's a nice running back, but that'll only get you so far. Tough. Pittsburgh. Who is on the Bills schedule this year, by the way, at home. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, will preview rookie minicamp. We'll talk a little bit about Dalton Kincaid, who's been a focal point of our discussion this morning, what that looks like if he takes a massive step. I also want to ask Joe about last year's draft class. Like, how much contribution should we expect from last year's draft class this season for the Bills? All that coming up with Joe Marino coming up next. It's Jeremy and Joe. You can get your phone calls in as well. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.